Baroness Lashini was a strong, powerful woman who had risen to power in Indyville by virtue of her cunning and keen sense of picking the right person for a job. Her sec force was strong and well-trained, led by a meticulous sec chief named Viviani, who left nothing to chance and no detail overlooked. But the Baroness was also a wealth of knowledge and information. Her memory was like a strongbox, and anything that she might have trouble remembering was filed in a collection of journal notes. The notes were part of a vast library housed in the center of the ville. Untouched by the nuke blast that devastated much of Indyville, the library had been the first thing the Baroness had sought control of when she was newly assigned to the previous Baron's sec force. Lashini found that by controlling knowledge, she also had power, and by acquiring more knowledge, she would acquire even more power. And so the library grew and grew, adding valuable books on subjects as diverse as basket weaving and blaster design. There were books on how to have better sex, and how to fight without blasters, knives, or swords. Even books on how to chill people with poisons, if you happen to have the right poisons. The Baroness had a dozen librarians reading through the texts in the library, each one with a special area of expertise, such as geography, geology, chemistry, biology, and history. Every so often, one of the librarians would be called upon to solve a problem pertaining to their area of expertise. And over the years, Indyville had become a very powerful barony, selling knowledge to those who needed it. Like Sec Chief Robards.
So, the Sec man at the gate says you brought me a quarter pound of bang in exchange for some information.
That's right, Baroness.
Well, what does your Sec Chief Robards want to know?
Baron DeMann is playing host to a group of Outlanders.
I thought he hated that type of scum.
Normally he does, but he's holding them for a reason.
Go on.
One of the Outlanders, their leader, in fact, goes by the name of Ryan. He's rather distinctive looking, with a large scar on the right side of his face and a black patch covering his left eye.
Plenty of Outlanders have scars like that.
Yes, but this one is unique. His band of six includes an albino teenager, an old man, a black woman, another woman, fair-skinned with flaming red hair, and a thin man who wears wire-rimmed spectacles and a fedora.
A motley crew to be sure, but why the hell should I care?
Sec Chief Robards thinks this Ryan may be the same Outlander who chilled Baron DeMann's brother a few years ago in a gaudy house in Spearpoint.
Baroness Lashini suddenly appeared much more interested in Baron DeMann's Outlanders. If their leader was the one who chilled the Baron's brother, then he was also the one who chilled her son in the very same gaudy house firefight.
What makes Robard suspect this Outlander is the same man?
Well, he remembered hearing something about a one-eyed Outlander working for a man they called Traitor, and he knew it was one of the Traitor's men who chilled the Baron's brother while the Traitor was at Spearpoint, working on a deal with Levi Shabazz.
So why not just ask the Outlander if he's the one? Or just chill them all and be done with it.
These Outlanders are dangerous, and Robards didn't want to let them know he suspected who they were until he was sure they were the ones.
And so he sent you here to me.
Correct.
And if this is the Outlander who chilled the Baron's brother, what does Robards plan to do about it?
Why, chill the scum and his friends on behalf of Baron DeMann, of course.
Lashini shook her head.
You disapprove?
Not at all. It's just that if this one-eyed Outlander is the same one who chilled the Baron's brother, then he's also the one who chilled my son, Lucas. And if that's the case, I damn well want to be there to watch him die.
Robards had warned the sick man that this request was a possibility.
As you wish, Baroness.
But first we need to know we have the right man, eh?
She turned to one of her sick men.
Take him to the archives and look up the journal entries on Lucas's death. And keep me informed as to what you find.
The sec man nodded and led Spike away. They were almost finished eating when Eleander finally entered the dining room.
Ah, here she is, the mother of the beautiful Moira.
It was obvious he had none of the same feelings for the older woman as he did the younger. Eleander stepped slowly into the big room, as cautious as if she were walking over broken glass with naked feet.
She was resting soundly. I was sorry to wake her up, but when she knew she had been asked for, she insisted on joining you.
Doc smiled broadly, his eyes stuck on the older woman. Ryan had never seen Doc so smitten by a woman before, though he had had a few liaisons. He had spoken countless times of the wife and children who had been left behind when Operation Kronos snatched him from his own era and brought him forward in time. But while he spoke of his dear wife Emily with fondness, romance, love, and respect, he seemed to eye Eleander with a lust that was somewhat uncharacteristic of the man. But with his mind shaken so badly from the jumps in time and emotional scarring, a person could never be sure of Doc's mental state. Ryan was glad that this time he appeared to be affected by lust, instead of the usual disorientation that bordered on lunacy.
"There's an empty seat here next to me, if you like."
Doc pulled back the chair and patted its seat, as if that would make its hard wooden bottom more comfortable. Eleander walked slowly toward Doc and took the chair with a slight nod. She smiled broadly at him. The Baron acted as if the woman wasn't even there.
"Right. I imagine you and your weapons man might want to look over the blasters you'll be using tomorrow."
"I would like that very much."
"Then let's go have a look, shall we?"
Ryan and JB got up to leave with the Baron. Ryan looked to Christy to ask if she were joining them.
"I think I'll stay behind with Doc."
Ryan glanced at the old-timer, who was already making conversation with Eleander.
"I don't think he needs a chaperone."
"No, but it wouldn't hurt to keep an eye on him."
Ryan couldn't argue with that logic.
"Later, then."
"I'm looking forward to it, lover."
The head librarian of Indyville was an old, old woman, hunched over a gnarled wooden walking stick and moving about with a considerable limp. Her right leg was twisted strangely to the left, and it looked to be a few inches shorter than her other one.
"You say you want the volume documenting the death of the Baroness's son at Spearpoint?"
"That's right."
"Any particular reason?"
"I want to see the description of the scum who chilled him."
"Might not be one there, you know."
"But the journals must have recorded the eyewitness accounts of that time."
"Sure, sure. But there might not be the exact description you're looking for. For all I know, it might just say the Baroness's son was killed by some outlander, nothing more."
"Even if the outlander had several distinguishing features?"
"Well, if he had one arm, it might be written in the journals. I'm just saying we may not find what you're looking for. You might be disappointed."
"I'll take my chances. Besides, your Baroness has an interest in this, too."
The librarian perked up at the mention of her Baroness, as she no doubt realized that if her journals were short of the information she wanted, the old woman might be held accountable for it. She quickly located the information.
"Here it is. Journal 52.
The librarian turned the pages of a ragged, oversized book that was 2 feet long and 1.5 feet wide. The pages were stark white and covered with tiny handwritten scrawls, each letter no bigger than a drop of water.
"We bleach the pages of the books whose information isn't valid anymore. Then one of our scribblers, who can write in very small letters, records new information on the pages."
She was looking over the book's type with a magnifying lens that was the size of a bottle bottom.
"Spearpoint, you say, eh?"
"Yeah, where Baron DeMann's brother Joshua and Baroness Lashini's son Lucas were both chilled by an outlander in a firefight."
The librarian continued to pore over the handwritten text in silence, now deeply engrossed in her task. Every once in a while, she blurted out a few words as she read.
"Confrontation with Vernal, crew leader for Levi Shabazz, in a gaudy house over a fat dancer named Big Dumpling." No, that's not it.
She continued reading, mumbling a few words every so often as she went. Then, after a few minutes...
Maybe this is it.
The librarian adjusted the lens and reset it over the page.
"Members of Traitor's crew stole several wags, made a run for it after rescuing several captured members of their group. Firefight with members of Baron Zeal's Sec Force."
"Joshua and Lucas were both members of Zeal's Sec Force."
"What's the brother and son of Barons doing as members of someone like Zeal's Sec Force?"
"They were young, free-spirited. Way I was told, they were out looking for adventure, excitement."
"Seems I got more than they could handle."
"Is it there?"
"There's something here. Just a minute."
The librarian adjusted the lens again and began to read.
"Joshua DeMann and Lucas Lashini, both chilled by outlanders in an attempt to rescue members of their crew."
"Is that all?"
"Be patient."
The messenger made himself comfortable and waited to hear from the librarian.
"Escape attempt led by 3 members of Traitor's crew. The men... First man, tall, muscular, black curly hair, blue right eye, carries Ruger Blackhawk blaster. Second man, short, stocky, thick mustache, long hair, usually tied in knot. Third man, older, muscular, called Poet. Is that any help?"
"Yes and no. The first description sounds like the Outlander's leader, but he carries a Sig Sauer, not a Ruger. And his right eye is blue, but is there no other mention about his eyes? Were there two of them or just one?
I read everything that's there.
And the descriptions of the other two don't fit his companions. There is an older man, but he's called Doc, not Poet.
Well, maybe you got some new friends.
Yeah, maybe. Is there any mention of other Outlanders? Any women?
Yes, in the entry about the Gaudy House. Now, where is it? Ah! Woman, green hair, carries double-barreled shotgun. Man, tall, skinny, wears hat and spectacles, carries Browning High Power Mark II. Another man named Sam carries 9mm H&K P7.
The messenger shook his head in frustration.
Something wrong?
There's two women with this Outlander now, and one of them has red hair. Very beautiful red hair, not green. One of the men in the group is a match. The one with the hat and glasses, but there's no mention of the black woman or the albino.
Albino?
Yeah, teenager. White hair, red eyes, albino.
Would have mentioned something like that in the journal if he'd been there.
That's what I figured.
But this is from a few years back. If he's a teenager now, then he would have been a little kid.
The messenger considered the information he'd been given. He was almost sure that the Outlander's leader was the same man who was mentioned in the journal. SecChief Robards recalled just such a man, and there were too many similarities to dismiss it as coincidence. But he needed to be sure. If they decided to chill the Outlanders, there was a good chance many of their own would likely be chilled in the process.
Is there anything else? Anything?
Let me see. Ah!
What is it?
The traitor's crew blew up Baron Zeal's refinery with copious amounts of C4. The one-eyed man orchestrated the escape of Traitor's party and the theft of most of Zeal's wags. Says here the name of the one-eyed man is...
It was almost as if she were teasing the messenger.
Tell me, you old hag, or I swear I'll chill you where you stand.
The librarian ignored the threat. She had what the man wanted, and he wasn't going to chill her before she delivered the goods.
The man's name is Ryan Carter.
Then it is him! He's the one!
The librarian took a sheet of bleached paper from a stack at the corner of the table.
I'll copy the information for you to take back to Baron Demand.
Yes, that will be fine.
There was a smile on the old woman's face, as if her entire existence had just been validated.